Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park, and we have one of our favorites on the show today. It is linebacker Chad Greenway. Hello, Chad.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Glad to be here.
Although right now you're not really a linebacker. Right now you're probably a dad and a husband and all that. You don't play much linebacker.
Workout warrior, being a dad, husband, doing the dishes, taking the garbage out, cleaning
good
the garage,
you.
All the fun stuff. Actually, I really enjoy that. Fixed up my .22 rifle yesterday, doing all sorts of fun things
awesome.
I'm getting behind on. So enjoying the off season for sure.
Telling us about your daughter dominating in indoor soccer, all of that. So the Greenway
yes.
offspring are doing very well. That's no surprise.
My oldest daughter, she's 5. She's in the YMCA soccer program mm-hmm. in Edina. So we enjoy that. She has fun once a week, and then we're going to put her in some other stuff too. She likes to compete, which I love.
And we're not going to be surprised with that because yourself, NFL linebacker, and your wife, Jenny, also a star athlete. I believe she ran. Did she run track or
she
long
did.
Distance?
Track, cross country.
Okay.
At the University of Iowa. She was a great basketball player in high school. She was just too short. So
mm-hmm.
she decided to do track. So that's really where they get their competitive spirit from. And they just get some good stuff from me too.
And you and Jenny met at Iowa?
At Iowa.
At school?
Yeah. Yep.
That's cool. Tell us the love story. What happened?
Well, of course, we met, you know, studying the different kinds of beer at the sports column.
Right, exactly right, yeah.
No, we met freshman year. We've been together really ever since. So it's been, you got to do the math on that one. It's like, what, 10-year, decade, a little over total time we've been together. So, my wife's a trooper. She's been through it thick and thin with us, and it's been good. It makes my life certainly a lot easier you know, it's fun to have your best friend is the one you're married to.
Yes, and you must do what I do. I keep my wife medicated so she doesn't get sick of me. That's what I do. That's how I've made it this long.
Yeah, heavy
right.
doses of wine. And no,
yes.
no, she's not. My wife is like, even since she went from college to now, she works out probably more now than she even did then. She teaches fitness classes at Tiger Athletics in Plymouth. She teaches classes at the YMCA in Edina. So she keeps herself busy.
Mm-hmm.
She has an accounting degree, but that'd be a little too many hours,
right.
I think,
yeah,
for
right.
us.
Yeah,
so
she's got her hands full.
She's got with the kids and work. She's she enjoys being able to stay home.
Now, you guys, maybe ever since you started, or maybe your second year, you and Jenny have done the Greenway Gridiron Gallop, the 5K fun run on Father's Day, right?
Yes,
is that happening again?
It is.
Cool.
It is. Last year we were not able to be there because of my father's sickness,
mm-hmm.
But this year we're planning on being back, and we're really making a hard push to get people out. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's the thing what we're doing is we're hosting this event to raise. Scholarships for kids who can't afford to play Minneapolis Park and Rec sports.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you have any interest at all in this, I mean, obviously you're giving back for a great cause. It's a fun thing to do with your family. And the thing for us is, you know, we're really plugging for our foundation board and for the Vikings, which always do a really good job helping us just get as many people involved as we can. Because the only way we can really raise money is just get people entered. You know, if you're walking, crawling, running,
yep.
pushing a stroller,
mm-hmm.
whatever and whoever and however, to come get that T-shirt and get in would be excellent because that's how we can get a lot of scholarships.
When we get closer to the event, which is in June,
right?
You can register and sign up and all that on Vikings.com. But I would imagine there's information at your website too.
Yeah, ChadGreenway.org is the host site for our foundation, and we do. You can look at all the different programs we're doing. You can look at the new locker we just put up at Hudson Hospitals and
cool.
Health Partners over in Hudson. So. You can see all the good things we're doing going on. Plus, you can register for our camps that are on the site there. We have two camps, one in Hutchinson, Minnesota in July,
mm-hmm.
one back in Mitchell, South Dakota in June. So we stay pretty busy.
How was the Pro Bowl?
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. I mean, you know, this being able to go for the second time, even though you make it as an alternate, you know, as a player, you don't really care too much about how you make it. You just love
mm-hmm.
to be able to make it, you know. And for you, you know, for me, I try to put as much work in as I can in this building to get myself – to be consistently good every year and be that same guy that people can count on. And, you know, I think I've pushed my way into that role now, and now I'm going to my 8th year, you know, definitely a leader of this team and somebody who wants to establish themselves as that. And you know, my number one goal at this point is to retire a Viking and to do it right here. And I have 3 years left of my deal, and I hope I can finish here.
You just don't see that a lot in pro sports anymore with the era of free agency and just the nature of our culture. That would really, it's a credit to a person when they can do it. And we have Kevin Williams, who hopefully is going to do that. And hopefully you would do that someday too. Huh?
Right. And I think the model for that for me was Jim Kleinsaucer. Obviously
yeah.
the way he
yep.
went about his career and wanted to remain here as a Viking and in some cases taken, I'm not sure, you know, this contract deal, but you know, just wanting to be here and letting Rick and Rob know, like, hey, this is where I want to be. Mm-hmm. You know, if we can work out the financial terms, this is where it is, you know. And I think that's where I'm looking too, is these guys have been great to our family. The state of Minnesota has been awesome, and we plan to make this our home. And we just, you know, that's my number one goal now, is to bring a championship here and to finish here.
Sounds good to me. Now, we had to wait for you to finish your workout before we could get a few minutes with you. So tell us the difference working out in the off season for an NFL player, how that is and how it's different from when you guys work out in season.
Well, in season, obviously, we're dealing with a lot of other bumps and bruises, a lot of injuries, just healing up, trying to push yourself into the next week. So it's a much different approach. This time of year, and you can push yourself as hard as you need to, as hard as you want to. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we don't need to be in full cardio shape right now compared to where we need to be in July. And there's no test for playing real football. It's like a basketball player. There's no test besides really playing basketball. You can run all day, but that's where you really get your conditioning in. So basically, it's just keep your body in shape. And for me, now that I'm getting older, you realize, like, you need to get ahead of the ball. You know, so I'm started. Mm-hmm. I've always been a guy who doesn't take a lot of time off, but this year I focused a lot more on my cardio just to stay ahead of that. And then just trying to, you know, maintain the weights, you know, to stay keep all the joints strong to remain healthy. You know, we don't lift weights because we want to be weightlifters. We lift weights because we want strong joints to play football. So it's something you just try to stay focused on. And you know, because if you can't be healthy and be on the field, you can't produce, and inevitably you won't make the team.
Leslie Frazier said the offseason program is going to start roughly the same time it did last year, which was the week of the draft, actually. And the offseason program entails lifting weights, and it's kind of slow to go at first, and then it progressively gets up to practices. Do you think you'll be around for some of the offseason program?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely the plan. Last year was a sort of different year for me. I've always been a guy who's trying to be here for everything, OTAs, workouts, and try not to miss any. Yep. If anything, gained a bunch of extra workouts during that process. And last year I wasn't able to do it, again, because of what we were going through as a family. So this year my dad's going to go through his transplant here actually in a couple weeks. So
big
couple months for us as a family, and hopefully things go well. But you know, the big thing for me as a player is to show these young guys, especially as a veteran, to show these young guys what it's like to be here for a full offseason, go about it the right way. You know, be in the meetings the full length of time, take in what the coaches are saying, learn as much as you can, especially with the offseason program starting later. You know, those rookies, the guys we draft, will be coming in, you know, a week after we start. So they're going to be around the guys. And, you know, it's the day and age of where these rookies are coming in are going to be an integral part of our team. Look at last year. You know, we have, what, 5, 6, 7 guys who are really producing for us throughout the full season. And so we got to take these guys under our wings, and it's not this period of, well, we're going to push the rookies back and not let them help us. I mean, the reality is we need these guys to play.
Right.
You know, some of them day one, some of them middle of the year, you're going to need them in spots. So Robert Bland, I think, was a good example of that in the San Francisco game. He stepped in and played awesome, you know, and really with no experience. So you need to take these guys under your wing fast, and you need to buy into the system quickly, and that's what this offseason's for.
Someone do that for you when you were a rookie back in 06. We take you in the first round, 16th overall, if I remember
17th.
Right. 17th overall.
You're getting old and your memory's
getting... Well, if it would have been 16, you would have gotten paid a little more.
Yeah, exactly.
Too bad it wasn't. But was there someone who did that for you, took you under their wing?
Yeah, I think without a doubt. Like, you look at the linebackers in the room at that time, Ben Lieber, EJ, and guys that I ended up playing with for 5 years, and both guys that I look up to throughout the years I played with them, and still look to stuff that they taught me and the right way to do things. And certainly Ben, who's become a great friend of mine, obviously is a guy that I look to and say, that was the idea of what it's like to be a professional. And I think I just learned so much from the way he went about his business and his approach, and sort of tweaked it and made it my own. But I think that's my job now, is to pass it on. I mean, when you get into this 7th, 8th, 9th year and you're still a starter and still producing, you need to take that role, because guys are going to look at you and say, okay, he's doing it, he's having success, it's working for him. Now we get more guys doing that. Okay, now we're a perennial playoff team. Now we have a real shot to go and win the championship. And that's the type of consistency and behavior we want to create around here, rather than, you know, negative behavior, not having guys around, not being a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not going to breed any championships.
Yeah. You know, on our way to a championship this year, we do something different. We're going to play in London. So producer Mike Kiris from Sleepy Eye, I'm from Waseca, you're from South Dakota, you know, really close, just like London. So, I mean, we'll be very, you know, we won't have any trouble adjusting.
Yeah, Greenway is a full English name.
Okay.
I have a great aunt that was born in London.
Are you being serious
very serious. I have a great aunt named Elsie who was born in London, and then she stayed there. And when my great grandparents came over, and then my grandpa was born in America, so she's still alive and living in London. And I think it'll be fun. I'm hoping, you know, with her health, things will hold up, and she'll be able to come to the game.
Wow.
It'd be really cool to be able to have that
that kind of connection. Cool.
So Greenway is what family who lives by the road.
Okay.
So apparently we live in the country somewhere who lived by a road. So yeah, it's pretty cool, and I think it'd be, I'm looking forward to it. So yeah. You know, I'm a big cycling fan.
Okay.
And if you guys are into cycling at all, they have obviously the Tour de France champion from last year, Bradley Wiggins, who was English.
He's English.
And okay. And also one of the best sprinter, probably not in history, but going that direction, Mark Cavendish, who's also from England. So I'm looking forward to hopefully getting a chance to meet those guys.
I mean, here I started joking about us playing in London, and you took it very seriously. But those are actually cool storylines.
Yeah.
For someone like me, that week when I don't know how long we're going to end up being over there. I don't think we've disclosed what our plan. I don't know what our plans are.
I'm guessing you're going to get at least 6-7 days over there, I would think.
I don't know. But I'm going to need some cool stories.
Hopefully. Yeah,
absolutely. We're going to need to do wobcasts. We're going to need stories to write about.
We're going to you. We got
to
get the cycling, the British cycling team.
Cool.
The national team. We got to get some of their famous cyclists over, so we can come over to practice and meet them. To me, it's an incredible endurance sport. I love to watch it, especially in the month of July during the tour.
So. All right, cool. So what that's going to lead, though, for the team, we're going to have an earlier bye week than we really like. I would imagine you're one of the many guys who likes a bye week right in the middle of the
week
season,
eight,
right?
Week 9, yeah, absolutely.
So ours is going to be early. So does that change how you guys operate early in the season in training camp and that first month? Or?
I think so. I think it will drastically change the way our coaches approach probably to training camp. I think in that instance, you can have a little tougher training camp. You need to be hitting maybe more than you would normally not need to be, but you can be, knowing you're going to have a break there at the end of September.
Sure.
You know, I think that's – and, you know, it doesn't probably change a whole lot, you know, maybe a rep or a period here or there. But for the most part, it's going to be the early bye or late bye, both are hard situations.
Yeah.
I think it's harder to have a early bye because then you're looking at a 13-game stretch where that's a brutal stretch of games. You know, you're going through holidays and everything else without even a glimpse of a break around it.
So I'm just reading between the lines. Let's say we request or the NFL grants us or they're considerate of our early bye. Maybe they throw us a bone later in the season, have us play on a Thursday. So then you guys get that weekend off and a few extra days. What if that was a Thanksgiving Day game? Would that be cool?
That'd be excellent. Yeah, I've never played a Thanksgiving Day game in 7 years, so that would be excellent. I've never thought about that, but you know, maybe you get the Detroit game over there or a game like that where you're playing on national TV on Thanksgiving. You know, the negatives are you obviously don't get to be with your family on Thanksgiving, around here you're practicing anyways, so you'd rather be playing and then having the weekend off to be able to enjoy your family.
Yeah.
So I think there's positive both ways, but that would be excellent.
And I think it would have to be Detroit because Dallas has to host the AFC team this year because they hosted the NFC team last year. So Detroit, obviously, on our schedule. It's a possibility.
Let's do
it'd
it.
Be kind of cool. I mean,
excellent.
I think it'd be kind of cool.
That'd be awesome.
You know, and you guys as players, I mean, you love being on the center stage, right? I mean,
I think
guys like Monday Night Football.
Right, and the best part about that is you know it's going to be a day game, so it's not going to screw up. You know, night games are great for fans, bad for players. You know, we like to play 12 o'clock noon games, maybe 3 o'clock games. But the night games just kill you for the next week, go leading into the next week. You know, that would be a little different situation because it's a Thursday game. But we prefer with the algorithm of the body to play at noon for whatever reason. It gets in our head to play later.
So. Algorithms, English cycling. I mean, we talk about everything here on the Wobcast. One more thing, though, before we let you go and get out of here. That I was going to ask you about that I'm forgetting right now. Oh, Greg Jennings. We signed Greg Jennings. So you've been playing against him.
I'm kidding.
I thought we were breaking news for a second. We don't break news here, and we almost did. But we got Greg Jennings, guy you've played against your whole career, and he's lit us up.
Yes. Yeah,
now he's going to light other people up for us.
He's an excellent player. I think the things that people maybe don't know about him is the kind of guy he is and the kind of addition he's going to be to our team character-wise and work ethic. And certainly excited to have him in the fold. I mean, obviously, we don't like playing against him because he has torched us, obviously, playing us twice a year for 7 years. So, you know, obviously, we're hoping he can stay healthy and really help us. He's going to be a big-time weapon for Christian and looking forward to having him in.
Are you a big draft guy? Are you going to watch the draft? We have 6 picks in the first 4 rounds and 11 picks
normally
overall.
Normally, I'm a better draft guy. Usually, it takes about this time of year for me to kind of get into it and kind of look around. It's just, you know, it's hard when you have so many other things going on to pay attention. But at the same point, there's always somebody trying to come take your job, so you probably should learn something about them so you can hold them down a little bit.
I think you're good, man. I think you're good.
You never know. You never know. Day by day.
All right. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks.
Okay. We go from a current Vikings linebacker in Greenway to a future Vikings linebacker. I don't know. Time will tell. It'll be the end of April before we find out, but it's Manti Te'o. the linebacker from the University of Notre Dame. Notre Dame held its pro day this week. They had the pro day on Tuesday, and it was a big day for Tail as he took center stage. Here's why it was a big day for him. Let's go back to the combine in February in Indianapolis. Manti Te'o ran what was termed a slow 40-yard dash time. It was in 4.81 seconds, which compared to the other players in his position group is pretty slow. So for the people who didn't want to support Manti Te'o, that was the thing they could point to. The guy is too slow. He's going to be a liability in pass coverage. That's why his pro day was going to be such a big day. Well, he had it, and it was a good day for Te'o. He ran the 40 twice, and it was reported 4.71 and 4.75. Not blazing fast, but much better than he performed at the combine, and fast enough where Te'o supporters can basically say, my guy has done everything that he needs to do to prove he belongs in the first round. The guy has proven production at a top-notch program at Notre Dame. They played in the national title game. They went undefeated before the title game, and Te'o was the best player on the nation's best defense. Te'o did well, reportedly, with teams. The interview process at the combine was good there. He was good with his media obligations. And then the on-field drills at the combine and at the pro day were good. The only thing that wasn't great was his 40 time at the combine. And then, as I just explained, he's kind of covered that up with an impressive 40 time at his pro day. So, Te'o supporters, you're in good shape. And going back to the 40-yard dash time, I mean, how important is that, really? What did Ditt Butkus run the 40-yard dash in? Anyone remember? Or Scott Studwell, the leading tackler in Vikings history. What did he run the 40-yard dash in? I mean, no one really knows because it really doesn't matter. Terrell Suggs, one of the best linebackers in the NFL right now. You want to know what he ran the 40 in? 4.84 seconds. E.J. Henderson, a middle linebacker for the Vikings for close to a decade, he ran the 40-yard dash in 4.8. So those guys were great players, and here's why they were good players, and here's why the 40-yard dash really doesn't matter when you're dealing with tenths of a second, which is what we were doing with Te'o. Because what do you want? What's the number one trait you want out of a linebacker, a middle linebacker? You want a guy that is instinctual, has good instincts. Because it's kind of like a quarterback. If a quarterback can anticipate and has good timing, it really doesn't matter how strong his arm is. He can be a step ahead of the defense. He doesn't need to have a cannon of an arm. Does Peyton Manning have a rocket for an arm? No, not really, but he's always a step ahead of you. He knows where he's going with the football. Same thing with the middle linebacker. If the guy is a smart player and he has good instincts, it doesn't really matter if he runs a 4.85 or a 4.65 40. You want your linebacker to be instinctual. Manti Te'o is that. I'm not endorsing him as the Vikings pick or predicting he's going to be the Vikings pick, but I'm saying what he did at his pro day this week on Notre Dame's campus and running the 40-yard dash and the 4.7s, he basically cemented his status as a first-round pick. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. That'll do it for us today. Thanks again for listening. To play us out, how about a little Green Acres? Take it away.
Green Acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. Land spreading out so far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.